on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How are you? We're back for another episode of the YokeCast podcast as we fire up a conference opening week. Volleyball will open up conference play this week. Football opens up conference play this week. Soccer opens up conference play this week. So it's a busy, busy time for Coyote Athletics. And obviously now is the time to lock in on conference championships and try to do what you need to do to put yourself in position towards the end of the season. We've got a great lineup set for you today. Speaking of soccer, Clarissa Vega will join us. She leads South Dakota right now in goals scored with 6 entering conference play. We will also chat with Sam Niederman of North Dakota State. We'll get a preview of the Bison. Of course, they're off to a 3-0 start and coming off of a bye last week. So we'll talk to Sam about what he has seen from the Bison so far this season. And we will chat with Tenel Bryant. We've seen his speed a little bit here throughout the course of the season. I think you'll continue to see him get involved as the season progresses. He's got lightning speed on X. He calls himself Young Cheetah. You'll find out why coming up in the conversation here in this episode. So those are our guests coming up here today. Can't wait for it to share some of those conversations with you. We'll get it started with Clarissa Vega, leads South Dakota in goals right now as the Coyotes prepare for Summit League play, which gets underway Sunday for the Yotes. Clarissa, first of all, how are you? How's the season been so far for you and the team?
I'm doing really good, thank you. Me and the team, I feel like we're doing well. I think we've accomplished a lot of things we want to do, and there's still a lot we want to keep doing, so it's a good start before league.
You lead the team in goals through non-conference play with 6 and points with 13. What has allowed the fast start for you individually and the success that you've had up to this point?
Definitely just, I think, the hard work I put in throughout the summer and trying to relearn a lot of the fundamentals of soccer, you know, and also my team just allows for me to be and get those goals because they put me in good spots and they build up the play, and then they just put me in a good spot to score.
You were a redshirt. What was your focus during that time as you tried to continue your development? Everybody wants to play, right? And nobody wants to sit out. How did you utilize some of that time to get yourself ready for this opportunity?
Yeah, one of the first things I definitely did was just pay attention to the people on the field. So Ashby, for example, I would look at, you know, tactically how she would move on and off the ball. And then I was like trying to put myself in that position so that when I'm able to play, I know what to do. Also just every day, you know, after training, just working on things on my own because there's a lot I needed to still practice, and just trying to grow my confidence back by doing things that I used to be good at.
I think it's interesting you talk about moving tactically and some of that. People look at soccer, and for those who aren't like really into the sport, they just look at who's shooting, who's scoring, things like that. How important are the movements around the ball as you try to set yourself up or your teammate up for a shot attempt?
Very important. I mean, at least for my position, me and the other 9 were always working to make diagonal runs, and if one checks, one's stretching it, and we always have to be moving off the ball and thinking, how can I get myself in a position to receive the ball?
You mentioned you're working on things to be as good as you used to be at it. Why do you have to go back and redevelop some of that?
Well, since I got injured a couple years ago, I had to relearn from the very beginning, and there's, you know, a lot that goes into soccer, the dribbling, passing, shooting, you know, the defensive part, and even just like the mental, even just physical part, like having to be game fit again. So just I'm working on it every day, trying to get better and better.
You go back and talk about injuries, and those are hard times. They can challenge an athlete mentally. They can challenge just any kind of return. What was your process like trying to, and I know you're talking about it, like it's still a process, something you're still working on. What was that process like just to get back onto the field and feel confident again?
definitely very difficult. Had a lot of challenges, ups and downs, but I feel like it made me appreciate the sport more because I was like, wow, this is not easy. But also made me look back and think on a lot of things I have to work on and even get better at like more things like my left foot or dribbling 1v1. So it was just nice to kind of almost restart and look at it as in like rebuilding, like just something new. I can start new and be just a whole new player.
When you go through that process, mm-hmm. do you have to lean on a lot of other people to help get you through some of those tough times? Because I know there's probably moments where you had breakdowns of, am I ever going to be able to do this again? Why is it me? You know, some of those, it's hard not to have those thoughts. Do you have to lean on people to get through some of those times?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, first and foremost, I always, you know, pray to God. And then I had a really supporting, loving family that was always there for me on and off the field. Most of my brothers also played soccer, so just leaning on them for advice really helped me a lot. And my roommates and my teammates are awesome. So thankful for them. So they were always there for me. And also just the coaching staff here at USD. Anytime I had questions or problems, they were always there to help me.
You talk about your brothers played soccer. Was it always soccer for you? Was it something that you, did you explore any other sport interest?
Definitely, I feel like it was mainly always soccer. My mom actually wanted me to like dance and stuff like that, but then my dad really wanted to keep me in soccer and I just chose soccer. I would just always be playing like in the backyard or with my cousins and it was just like, how can I not choose soccer, you know?
So if your mom wanted you to go into dance, does that mean you have the best dance moves on the team?
Yeah, something like that. I'm pretty good.
When you were coming out of high school, I mean, you come from California.
Yeah.
You chose South Dakota. Why move this far from home? Why did this feel like a fit for you?
Well, when I came on my visit, I came during summer, so like no one was really here and I really liked it and I was like, wow, if I already liked the campus and the town without like the school part and not even being the team, I was like, I already know that once I'm in routine and I get to meet my teammates, like I'm gonna love it even more. Also, just the coaching staff had a lot of belief in me and that really just motivated me and made me want to choose a school even more.
You come from California, you came on your visit during summer. How'd you survive that first winter?
Lots of layers, gloves. I had like heating pockets in my gloves, and then I wear like leggings on top of my sweat or below my sweatpants, beanies, all of it. It was, but it, I found it pretty though. The snow was nice, but it was definitely a little hard.
A little different,
yeah.
Right? A little different. Takes a bit to get used to. What do you do for fun outside of soccer? I mean, right now, obviously, you're in season and it's a focus. And I know, I'm sure people know this, but soccer doesn't just end over the winter and the spring. There's always work going on and some of that. But when you're not playing, what do you do for fun?
I love to bake and cook. It's one of my main hobbies. Even just playing different type of sports like volleyball, pickleball. And I also love to do like scrapbooking or coloring. And of course, watching movies. I love watching movies.
What's the baking specialty?
Usually, you know, I can make some cake pops, brownies, some cookies, cake, cheesecake, a little bit of everything.
All right, well, we'll see if we can get you some requests and get that kitchen going for you. But that's during the off season, right? Mm-hmm. Focused on the season right now. Take me back to that Idaho game. You're in a battle with them. It's hard to get a goal.
Yeah.
Both sides. You're in the second half, about 30 minutes left in that thing, and you find a way to score and you get the breakthrough. What's going through your mind at that point? There's a lot of soccer left, but you know that could be the game winner, you know, with 30 minutes left. So what's going through your mind when you score that goal?
Well, first I was like, Gabby made like a good front post run and like made the pressure, and then I just saw the ball go up and I was like, I just gotta flick it in, and then I did, and then obviously it just feels so good and everyone's like on top of you, hugging you. It's just such a happy moment. But then I was like, I gotta, obviously the defense in mid is working really hard to defend, and I was like, as a forward, like I can't just slack off right now. I gotta keep pressing, and as a team collectively, I think we were able to do that, and that's what got us the winner, and it felt really nice.
I know you've experienced it a lot in your soccer career, and you've experienced it a lot this season. What's the moment like when you score and everybody wants to tackle you on that spot, and sometimes you're probably trying to get away, whatever, but what's that like as everyone mobs you and you just get that 30 seconds of celebration?
It feels so good because even like this last game, like I was just so tired, and so when I score, it just feels like some relief, but then also like everyone just comes together, and the bench is even cheering, and it just feels so like just so much joy in the moment.
This team has already won more games this year than it did last season. In your experience, what has been the biggest factor of that success that you've seen, just the change in success from last year to this year?
I would say just everyone is really committed and on the same page. Last year we were at two, but this year, since we have a lot more players leaving, like we just want it so much more, and I think we have so much depth and talent, and we know we could win, and even just the coaching staff believes in us so much, and it obviously makes us believe in ourselves, and we really, really think we got it.
Now it's conference play. This group obviously has a goal. The goal is always to win as many games as you can, win a conference championship, get to the conference tournament, that kind of thing. What has to improve for this group going from non-conference play to conference play for it to find that kind of success in the conference schedule?
I would say just to keep, when we play together and move the ball around, I think that really helps us be successful. And just doing the South Dakota things that our coach, you know, reminds us of, which is to play it wide and attack, go 1v1, you know, remember the all-the-time things, make aggressive mistakes. Just keeping all those things in mind is really going to help us be successful.
We talked about you coming back from injury. What's something you've had to change in your game to adapt to this level versus playing club soccer and high school soccer back in California?
Definitely just being more and more aggressive and intense. I mean, the defenders are always going to push and shove you, so just being ready for that push and then being able to know when to pass and when to dribble, because sometimes you just can't dribble if there's too much players, and sometimes you got to pass it quickly. Also, though, just like once I'm done playing a game, I think taking care of myself is really important, and back then I feel like I wouldn't recover the best, so now I really just take that into consideration.
You're a kinesiology and sport management major. Mm-hmm. What do you hope to do in the future?
Well, my goal is to keep playing soccer, hopefully. And if I do or if I don't, afterwards I want to pursue a coaching career or maybe even manage like a sport facility.
What grew that interest, ignited that interest in you to get into coaching?
I've just had so many coaches in my life that have made such a big impact, and I want to be able to do that to a bunch of other athletes and help them grow. And it's really inspiring. And I also just want to keep, you know, being in soccer and watching soccer.
You said you want to keep playing as much as you can. Everybody has that goal, right? At some point, everybody has to step away. For some people, it's a long ways down the road. For others, it's not. There's been a growth in professional women's soccer. Have you paid attention to that a little bit and understand the way that the sport just continues to evolve and grow?
Yeah, I do watch soccer a bit. I feel like I usually watch more like individual players, though, but I'm glad to hear that it's growing, because, I mean, it's always nice to hear that. And, yeah, I hope I can make it there someday.
National team, maybe?
Yeah, that's my goal.
Have you looked into the process on things that you have to do? Obviously, you've got a great career left at South Dakota. What do you have to do? What do you think you have to do here to continue to put yourself in position for that?
I would say just trying to be the best forward I can be, you know, for my team, for myself, trying to score as much goals or assist, and just to keep staying disciplined throughout my 4 years, I think it's really going to help me.
Why should people come out and watch this year's version of Coyote Soccer when they get the opportunity? Obviously, you're home this Sunday. You'll have other home games throughout conference play. Why should people come out and see this year's team?
I would say we're just very, very talented. I mean, whether the kids that are playing or the ones that are on the bench, like no matter who comes in, everybody can make a difference. And I feel like if people see us play, like they could see that.
Well, we're excited to see how the season goes. Thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. Good luck the rest of the year.
Thank you.
That is Clarissa Vega. She currently leads South Dakota in goals scored and points on the season. The redshirt freshman. Great conversation with her as we talked about her road back from injury and her impact so far this season. Time now to chat with Tenell Bryant. He has been a speedster for South Dakota in his first year in a Coyote uniform. We'll continue to see that electricity that he provides the atmosphere with his speed, and great conversation with Tenell Bryant. Tenell, the season obviously is getting well underway now through the non-conference. You get ready for conference play. What has been your experience here through the first four games competing for South Dakota?
First four games have been amazing. You know, the two first away games, Iowa State and Lamar, you know, they didn't go in our favor, obviously. But, you know, Coach Johansson has made sure we stayed on track for these past two home games. And we're looking to turn the season around. And it's just been a great atmosphere by the home fans and the South Dakota people coming out to the game and supporting us. So, yeah, yes, sir.
What, you know, you go through these games and you'll play through some different atmospheres and things like that, but going to a place like Iowa State, and I know it's probably not your first time playing in a big stadium, but it's not something that we get to do every single week. What is that feeling like walking out and being like, whoa, there's a lot of people here?
I mean, it's honestly like, you know, like just like it feels like it's just like another game, really. I mean, like once you get used to like, you know, all the crowds and all that, it honestly just feels like the same. Honestly, like when I'm out there, honestly, I don't hear anything like when I'm playing. It's just like me and then the guy in front of me. That's all it is, like a one-on-one matchup. That's really what it is.
You've been getting more and more reps and time on the field and positioned in different ways. What has been for you, like internally, just like the development and grasping the South Dakota offense and trying to get yourself more involved?
You know, just doing what's best to help the team to win. You know, whether that's me going out there blocking somebody, me going out there and getting a bomb over the field, you know, just being best and, you know, helping Coach Morrison and his offense, being able to do what's best to help us get the win that we want.
You started your career at Arkansas State and spent a couple of seasons there. When you decided to move on from there, why South Dakota? What made this a great fit for you?
So when I jumped in the portal, you know, Coach Rosenthal, he actually reached out to me. So I was like, all right, I'm going to come visit. And then I forgot to send like all my stuff to come visit. And then I forgot to respond back. And then it was probably like a week later. And then I tested him back. And then, you know, he had responded back. You know, we got on a visit and all that. Then I came out here because I would have never thought I was coming to South Dakota, like in all honesty. And I came out here, I was like, oh, it's way better than I actually thought it was. And, you know, it's not too many distractions or anything. Everybody's locked in on football out here. And then, you know, I fell in love with the coaching staff, Coach Johansson, Coach Walker, the receiver coach, Coach V, the quarterback's coach, even the defensive staff as well. It just felt like a family and like a true bond here. And that ultimately made me like want to make the decision and come here.
You know, you mentioned, you know, you never imagined you'd go to South Dakota, and you probably had never even thought you would visit the state of South Dakota. You're from Ohio. You went down south to start your college career. But you've been on visits before, right? You were recruited. You've been on other visits. What is it like going to a entirely new place, very unfamiliar to you, trying to visit that with an open mind, thinking I could continue playing here?
I mean, it was just way different because, you know, like, I mean, you know, going into Arkansas, it wasn't too big of a city, but I mean, it was like a decent sized city. And then coming here, I mean, it's just like a, you know, just a transition you got to make, and you just got to get used to it after a while. I mean, once I got used to it, I mean, it's cool. You know, I'm always with my teammates, hanging around the facility, all that. So I like it out here.
Did it sway one way or the other because it was indoors?
Not really. I like the indoor though. That's different. Like, I've never played in a dome in my life. You know, Ohio, it gets cold, it snows and all that, but the dome, I love it.
Yeah, we got a whole different kind of cold coming up for you as the season progresses. I promise you that. You'll appreciate certainly being in the dome. You look at this offense right now, and we've seen over the last couple of weeks, it feels like the offense is getting better and better, and everybody's getting more and more on the same page.
Describe that process, being a part of the offense, of this thing trying to come together with so many new faces on this offensive unit.
Mm-hmm. I would just say, like, Coach Morrison, he preaches very well all the time in our offensive unit meetings, just always make sure we're 100% confident going into the game. Like, we want to make sure we hit everything over and over and over, make sure we're always in our playbooks and just rep everything at 100%. So when it comes to game day, we know what we're doing, and we don't even got to think about it. Like, we've done it so many times.
We saw you this week. You got a carry. It was 30 yards. You got a bomb pass about 48 yards. You had to slow up and come back for the ball a little bit. Are those tough catches to make you know a defender's about to hit you because they're trying to catch up and you're trying to focus in on the ball? Are those difficult ones to make?
I would say they're a little bit difficult, but, you know, it's just another day in the lab. You know, we work on those things every day, so just another day.
When you line up in formation and you know, obviously you know the route you've got to run, and with your speed, more times than not, probably a lot of your routes are going to be deep routes. Do you know when you've got the defensive back beat?
When I get even, I know I got him beat. It's a track meet from there, so.
And you're racing down the field, and then you look back, and the ball's flying your way. What's the adjustment like to try to shift from sprinting into the formation to get yourself in position to make the grab? Obviously, you always want, right, the catch and the breakaway and the score, but job number one is to secure that catch.
I would just say, like, you know, we do this thing in practice called OTS, over the shoulder, and controlling the flight of the ball. Coach Walker preaches on that a whole lot. And, you know, he always gets on me because I'm always running away from the ball or something. He says, you know, if the ball is ever underthrown, slow down, control the flight of the ball, you're going to catch it 100% of the time. So he harps on that all the time, and I make sure I do that if the ball is ever underthrown.
You're also with your speed. You're back in kickoff returns. We've seen you return some you let go. What goes through that decision process? How deep does it have to be? Or are all those designed when you don't bring them out? Or how deep does it have to be? How much freedom do you have to return the ball?
Well, whether the ball, I mean, if it just goes over my head, I'm just like, all right, we're just going to let it go in the end zone, you know, bring the offense out to the 25 instead of bringing it out where we have a risk of either falling short of the 25 or even potentially exploding out from there. But usually when it just goes over my head, I just let it go, let the offense get on the field, and let us go score.
You going to get that KOR TD soon or what?
We're going to get that KOR TD soon.
Young Cheetah is on your Twitter profile, the nickname. How did that come about?
So it came about because high school, I actually did not wear the number 9. I wore the number 10 in high school. And then, like, the news reporting cast always used to call me Cheetah. And then they basically just started calling me the younger version of Tyreek Hill because I was number 10 in speed and all that. So that's how that nickname came along.
Have you watched a lot of Tyreek Hill's game and tried to, like, obviously being a smaller wide receiver, if you will, somebody with a lot of speed, do you try to take some of what he's done?
Oh, yeah, all the time. You know, that's like one of the favorite receivers. I like to study Tyreek Hill, you know, other, like, smaller receivers from other teams as well, and to be able to take, like, what they do in their craft and be able to use it in mine.
I know you coaches do a good job of putting game plans together and whatnot, but how much film watching do you have to do to understand maybe tendencies of some of the DBs and some of that, or just looking back at previous games on ways that you could have ran a route better or got yourself open?
It's a lot of preparation that goes into a lot of these games because, I mean, one mishap or something like that, one detail off, that can mess up a whole play right there. Like, you're short a route depth, that could be a first down right there. So it's a lot of preparation, a lot of details that go into everything we do. Yes, sir.
I know you always take whatever's given to you. You just take advantage of opportunities. Do you go back to the huddle and let Aiden know, hey, I think I got an advantage over here, be looking for me?
Nah, I mean, you know, I just let Aiden do his thing. I don't want to put too much pressure or anything on him, so I just let him ball out and do his thing.
What's the next step for this offense? I've talked about it. I think it's gotten better every single week. What's the next step for this offense? Conference play is here. These games from here on out just get that much more important.
You know, every week we're just going to keep coming in every day, getting 1% better, and, you know, just wait until the day that we play our very best football, and the offense is just going to keep trending up.
What do you hope fans recognize and see out of this group as it continues to develop?
I hope fans just see us, you know, trending up and running the score up on teams.
And you ready for that big explosive?
I'm ready for that big explosive.
So you go through this, and if you look back at your career up to this point, because I don't think we're done with this conversation, but up to this point, what's been your favorite football play you've been a part of?
Favorite football play I've ever been a part of? I would say, wait, here or just overall?
Overall.
I would say, honestly, my very first game in college was my true freshman year at Oklahoma. That was the year they were ranked top 5 in the country, I'm pretty sure. I would say making my first ever catch, because I was scared running onto the field. Like, it was a whole bunch of, you know, they had a whole bunch of All-Americans on the field. So I'm like, all right, I can go out here and do my thing. So it was my very first catch and tackle. And then once after that, I mean, just kicked off from there. I'm ready now.
How much has your confidence grown since that catch?
Oh, it's grown way more. It's grown a lot.
And now you continue to develop. Obviously, you've got a couple of years in college football left, counting this one here. How do you continue to develop, make yourself better so you can be even better next year?
You know, just taking the pinpoints that the coaches always put out. You know, coaches always, they're always going to harp on, you know, the small things that I can do better. And then even, like, bringing, like, the young freshmen that are coming along, you know, developing them as well, giving them some of my knowledge so they'll use in the future.
We saw Lorenzo Fenner this last week break off for a long run and a touchdown. Is he faster than you?
Hey, he's getting there. He's getting there. He's getting there.
It's not a yes or a no. He's getting there. Tanel, great stuff, man. Really appreciate your time. We're glad you're at South Dakota. Continued success and good luck this week.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That is Tanel Bryant. He is the speedy wide receiver for South Dakota. He saw him get 70 yards of offense last week, a 31-yard run. He had a 48-yard catch. So electric, electric, electric. And they'll continue to find ways to get him involved. Tanel Bryant, after Arkansas State has joined the University of South Dakota. Time now to chat with Sam Niederman. He is the radio play-by-play voice of North Dakota State. The Bison off to a 3-0 start, dominating victories in their first three. Sam has seen all of the action, so we caught up with him to preview North Dakota State. South Dakota back in action on Saturday as they open up Missouri Valley Football Conference play. The Coyotes on the road to take on North Dakota State. And the last couple of regular season meetings between these two have been really, really good battles between South Dakota and North Dakota State. We're joined now by Sam Niederman. He is the radio play-by-play voice of North Dakota State. Sam, first of all, how are you? How are things? Coming off that bye week, you got to be feeling pretty well rested right now, huh?
Yeah, definitely am, John. I appreciate you having me. It's great to visit with you again. It's hard to believe that this is my third go-round personally at NDSU. So another battle between the Bison and the Yotes. We always look forward to it. And, yeah, the bye week came at a different time for us this year, and I think everybody welcomed that. We were just talking about it earlier. USD's got the late bye this year, which is – unconventional, and in a way it can be a blessing. In some ways it can be a curse. NDSU had that last year going back to November, and now we got back to normal, and I'm not complaining about that. Do three games out of conference and then take your bye week before Valley play gets going. So I'm feeling rested up. I know the Bison are too. I think the guys enjoyed a little bit of time away on Saturday. We had Logan Kopp continue the bye week wedding tradition. Our star linebacker, he got married over the bye week, and I know a lot of the guys are able to go and celebrate with him, and so we're all excited. It's good. We've got crazy good weather right now in Fargo, so I think we've got everything set up just okay for you guys to come on up to the Dome on Saturday.
Well, we're looking forward to it. There's no doubt about it. Let's talk about the Bison and how the season started. It was kind of a weird start to the season. The results were the same, but when's the last time North Dakota State opened with two road games? You just don't see that out of NDSU. They play a ton of home games, but two road games to start the year, a little bit different for the program.
It was the first time since 2014, John, and so you're talking over a decade since the Bison had gone on the road for the first two, and I called it Operation Destination, two destination games, which is something that NDSU has implemented on the schedule in recent years. That becomes a byproduct of some of the FBS competition not wanting to schedule the Bison, and just with difficulty in getting good FCS opponents in the early stages of the non-conference. NDSU will have Montana State and Vegas at Allegiant Stadium in 2027, which will be a really good marquee game to look forward to. But as of now, what NDSU's done is go to what we call destinations for the Bison fan base. So Charleston, South Carolina, the opening weekend against the Citadel, took care of business there. And then week two in Nashville, where the Bison hope to go for the FCS National Championship game, and playing at the Tennessee Titans Nissan Stadium against Tennessee State. So pretty cool to go on the road. It was a unique challenge for this group to play away from home in some different environments that you had never been to before, and especially a group that didn't have as much starting experience. I mean, you think back to last year's Bison team that won the national title. The most underrated characteristic of that team was they had 23 seniors. We talked about the talent level, and obviously Gray Zabel, a first-round NFL draft pick at left tackle, Cam Miller delivering one of the best years in NDSU history at quarterback, and he goes on to be an NFL draft pick. But 23 seniors that stayed amidst the coaching change and were able to finish their careers on top. So you graduate all that experience, and there were a bunch of guys in first-time starting roles for those first two road games. But the thing is they didn't look like they had ever, you know, missed a beat. They didn't look like first-time starters, which I think was the most encouraging thing for NDSU in the non-conference start.
Well, they've been off to a great start, obviously, 3-0 going into their bye week last week. That offense right now being ran by Cole Payton. I want to talk about him. I don't know if gadget player is the right way to describe him, but he's kind of been a special package player while he's waited for his opportunity to run the offense as a starter. Boy, he's really good. Right now, he looks really solid through three games.
Johnny's coming off his best game of the year, 348 yards in the air against SEMO before the bye week, and that was good for third most in single-game Bison history for passing yards. Rare air there for Cole Payton. I don't think we envisioned that type of performance this early for the senior quarterback for NDSU in his first year as a starter. But here he is, and he has wowed to start this thing off. I describe him as the running quarterback for NDSU the last 4 years, and really the backup quarterback. You're talking about a guy who backed up Cam Miller, who came onto campus as a highly touted recruit out of Omaha in high school and competed for a starting job that was open after Trey Lance was drafted back in the 2021 fall season. And ultimately, the job went to Quincy Patterson, who had it for the first half of the year, and then Cam Miller stepped in and never looked back. But so Cole was in the backup role, and we've obviously seen him plenty of times in that running package where he made great plays with his feet. 2023 had a huge year with 13 rushing touchdowns, and then he just used run of the semifinals. Last year, he gets hurt halfway through the year with a shoulder, missed the last eight games of the year. And then he wins the starting job going back to fall camp and in the spring as well. And I think it's been really incredible to see just how he's been able to make the downfield throw. He's ahead of schedule, I'd say, for NDSU, just commanding the offense through the passing game. And we know that he can make plays in the designed run game, but I think it's been great to see him also extend plays with his athletic ability and his feet from scrambling standpoints for passing. So he's one of the best players in the country, in my book. He's going to be a tough out. I know Travis Johansson and the rest of the USD defensive staff, they'll have their eyes keen on trying to make things difficult for him on Saturday afternoon. But you cannot ask for a better start from Cole Payton for NDSU at the quarterback spot.
No doubt, in a way to build his confidence. And NDSU teams for years have been get behind that big offensive line and just ground and pound. And they've ran the ball well this year, but they've got some athletic playmakers. Obviously, Bryce Lance might be definitely one of the best players in the country. And then Rajah Nelson and some of those other guys. Are we starting to see that? Listen, they could still run it, right? Are we starting to see a shift into a more flashy Bison offense here than the old ground and pound?
Well, I don't know if I'd ever say flashy with NDSU football, but I will say, man, I will say a more balanced NDSU offense. And I think that's been one of the approaches for Tim Polasek since taking over as head coach. You know, TP used to be the play caller here at NDSU from 14 to 16 and an assistant as well before that. And he had been a play caller at Wyoming under Craig Bohl, former Bison coach. And I think he learned some things there, and he learned it at the FBS level as well with Iowa, where he was their offensive line coach. He's a former quarterback, John. I mean, he's a former quarterback going to his playing days at Concordia. I think he wants to have NDSU, obviously, still have the bedrock of physicality and domination on the line of scrimmage for offensive football when it comes to North Dakota State football. But I think there's been a willingness to open things up and to throw it and to have more of a 50-50 pro-style look. We saw that with Cam Miller last year, setting the single-season mark for passing yards, threw over 30 touchdowns. I mean, Cole Payton's on track to be right in the same vicinity numbers-wise, maybe even break it if he can keep things up. It's early. There's a long way to go. It is a more balanced attack. I would never say flashy when it comes to NDSU, but, hey, there's some swagger on the edge, and there's some absolute talent for NDSU at wide receiver. We know about Bryce Lance, who's going to get drafted in the NFL next spring. Rajah Nelson is playing the best football of his career. He was injured last year, battled through a groin issue. They had to manage his game so he could preserve a red shirt and then play in the playoffs, and that's exactly what he did. And he has just really come out of the gates charging. So yeah, there's a lot of skill on the perimeter, and the fact that we're even talking about it in this sense is a testament to how much talent NDSU has there.
Yeah, no question about it. And their defense always good. They've got 10 different players that have been involved in at least a half a sack, 25 TFLs. Boy, this defense is getting after it here early in the season.
Yeah, they are. And I think it's got a chance to be one of the best defenses in the Valley this year. I mean, they pitch a shutout to start against the Citadel, which it's always tricky going up against an option team. They took on a Tennessee State team and didn't allow a first down until the middle of the third quarter in that game. That's how dominant they were. Gave up a couple of points to SEMO and one big play in there that got them going early. But then after that, we're able to get the pass rush in and really take away a lot of what the Redhawks wanted to do with their passing attack, and they had a pretty respectable one at that. This is a great defensive line, John. I think you're seeing a similar level of physicality to some of the old great Bison defenses of the past, and you've got depth. I mean, right now you've got a starting four up front of Toby Anene and Kelt McCaslin at the end spot, and then Keenan Wilson, Jackson Dutenheffer at defensive tackle. But after that, guys have been rotating in beyond them. Logan Larson has been in giving some depth on the interior. Elijah Wayne has also been stepping up. Zach Vanderpool. These are new guys who have just been developed behind the scenes, and now they're getting their chance to make an impact in game situations. And you got a trio of linebackers, as I mentioned earlier. Two of them had not started a game in their career, and we've been talking about them like they've been, you know, household names, but they've been making the plays to prove it. Donovan Woolen with a pick six in week two in Nashville. He had a great sack and another good third down tackle against SEMO. Logan Kopp, who we know, two-time all-league performer. And then obviously you got Nathaniel Staling in the middle, who's kind of come out of a season-ending injury last year to a captain role this year, and is top at NDSU in tackles so far. So the front seven's been really good. I think the secondary has a bunch of experience compared to where they were at last year, where there was a lot of injuries and guys were getting thrown into the fray on the fly. It's just a really good overall group, and I'm excited to see what they can do now that we get into conference where the competition will increase. Obviously going up against a very experienced quarterback in Aiden Bauman, who's had some really good performances over the last couple of years against the Bison. I know they're relishing that challenge to try and shut him down, and obviously a talented Yotes backfield here too, even with the injury to Charles Pierre, with LJ Phillips coming out of nowhere like he has.
Excited to see what happens this weekend. It's a lot of eyes will be on this matchup in the Valley because only three teams play in league play. The other non-conference matchup for South Dakota State against Mercyhurst. All eyes on NDSU and USD amongst the league this week, and it's homecoming for the Bison. What can we expect on homecoming and all the other festivities that go around the homecoming atmosphere?
Yeah, it's always a great tradition, and John, you've seen it firsthand. I mean, USD came into Fargo and knocked off the Bison on homecoming in 2023, which left a sour taste in the mouth for NDSU, and then obviously we know how last year's game in Vermilion ended with the crazy comeback for the Yotes in the final moments. That's definitely on the forefront of NDSU's mind. And I'd say you're going to see a fan base that's ready to come out. There's a lot of respect for what USD has built over the last couple of years. The end of Coach Nielsen's tenure going to Travis Johansson now. And I think you're going to see a hungry fan base that's ready to take on what's become like a good matchup here in Valley football over the last two seasons. I think it'll be a sellout. We should have a green out with it being a code green game for NDSU, the all green uniforms for the Bison that we only see on a handful of occasions. So everybody's fired up for that. And everybody's coming home. We got NDSU's Hall of Fame inductees. We'll be honored at halftime. The luncheon for them is the day before the game Friday. So it's going to be a rocking atmosphere. And as I mentioned earlier, the weather has just been beautiful for late September. So perfect day for tailgating. And I think everybody's going to be rowdy on that first series once we kick things off in the Dome.
No doubt. People will be fired up. Should be great weather inside the Fargo Dome as well for a Saturday afternoon football matchup. Sam, great stuff. Really appreciate the time as always. And look forward to seeing you this weekend.
John, always great to join you, man. Thanks so much, and we'll see you at the Fargo Dome.
That is Sam Niederman. He is the radio play-by-play voice of North Dakota State, joining us for a preview of the Bison as South Dakota prepares to open up conference play on the road for NDSU. It is the homecoming for the Bison, so they will be fired up and ready to go. Congratulations to Jack Holes, the men's golfer, who finished as the medalist at the event at West Des Moines, Iowa, the Zach Johnson Invitational, helping South Dakota men's golf team to a second-place finish, runner-up for them. So big congrats to him. A great effort for Jack Holes and the opportunity to take medalist honors. Coming up this week, volleyball opens up conference play Thursday night in Grand Forks. They'll take on the University of North Dakota. Coyotes have gone 2-1 in all four of their non-conference weekends, and now they get themselves ready for conference play, and we'll see what South Dakota can do here with the effort in Summit League play, and they open it up Thursday night at North Dakota. Women's tennis is in action in Omaha on Friday. It's the Creighton Invite. You can catch all the results for that at goyotes.com. Softball set to play Mount Marty in non-conference play. That will be in Yankton on Friday evening. So we've got fall ball play, I should say. So fall ball play there. Women's tennis continues on Saturday at the Creighton Invite. Volleyball is home for the Summit League home opener as they'll take on Oral Roberts in the Sanford Coyote Sports Center. That is set for 12:30. And then softball set to play Kirkwood Community College in Vermilion on Saturday afternoon. Football takes on the top-ranked Bison. It's the homecoming for NDSU. 1 o'clock kickoff in Fargo. You can watch it on Midco or ESPN+. You can also hear all of the action on the Coyote Sports Network. Our pregame coverage gets underway at 12 o'clock. Swimming and diving will host the red-white event at the pool, and that's at 1 o'clock on Saturday. Then on Sunday, women's soccer is set to open up Summit League play as they take on St. Thomas at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday. So check that out as well. And then looking ahead to next week, the women's golf team is back in action on Monday as they compete in Iowa City at the Diane Thomason Invitational hosted by the University of Iowa. So a whole lot of things going on in Coyote Athletics. If you want to stay up to date with all things Coyote Athletics, visit goyotes.com. That's it for me this week. Big thanks to Clarissa Vega, Tenel Bryant, and Sam Niederman for joining us here this week and making the podcast possible. We'll get you some more interviews and conversations coming up here next week as well. I'm John Thayer. Have yourself a tremendous weekend. As always, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.